point being, if you don't see God, if you don't see God, it's not because God doesn't exist. It's because you're looking with the wrong apparatus. And gentlemen, I don't mean to be funny here, because this is not a funny point. It's not a funny point at all. As a matter of fact, one of the saddest commentaries about modern science is when the Russian cosmonaut sent the first man into orbit. This was in 1961, and Yuri Gagarin was the first human being in orbit, ahead of NASA, ahead of the USA. Russia put the first man in orbit. And you have to appreciate what this meant. This was a man who was going to view the world from outside. He was going to view planet Earth from outside planet Earth. And this is how they describe it. He says, on April 12, 1961, he got into his spacecraft Vostok, and he said these words, "Now I go to meet nature face to face in an unprecedented encounter." And that's what he saw. For the first time as a human being, he saw planet Earth from the sky. And when he came back, he remarked, and this is publicly recorded, this is on national TV, international, "Now I know that God does not exist, because I was there and I didn't see him." And he was serious. He proved to the atheist, communist world that God doesn't exist, because he went to the sky and he saw that God wasn't there. So much like the teacher who pointed that God isn't out there, you don't see him, so too the Russian cosmonaut proved there's no God. Now gentlemen, what's the point? The point is that you're right. If you're looking for the creator of the heavens and the earth with physical senses, you will not see him. Because you're using the wrong apparatus. You're trying to weigh light. If you listen to your behema, if you listen to the nefesh abam, your physical side, you will not experience Hashem. You will not relate to Hashem. You will not know that Hashem exists. However, man was given two parts. There's a nefesh abahami, which is pure passions, pure desires. It's blind and dumb as an animal. But there's another part to the human. There's a nefesh asichli, a wise, intelligent part that intuitively knows and understands that Hashem is right here. I am in constant contradiction. I'm constantly mixed up. There's a part of me, as we discussed before, that's pure behemoth, pure passions, and there's a part of me that's pure seichel, pure intellect. And the reason why it's difficult for me to feel Hashem's presence is because I'm both of these. And I'm in constant state of contradiction and constantly mabulbal, all mixed up. But within my heart is a total, complete knowledge, a yediyah chushis, that Hashem is present right here. Unfortunately, it oftentimes doesn't come out except in a time of extreme tragedy or calamity or catastrophe, but, and here's the punchline, it's a kind of thing that a person can work on. It's a kind of thing a person can work on and grow in. And as a matter of fact, I want you to know, if you would like to grow in your davening, I have one simple recommendation. Before you start Shemona Esrei, before you start, think one thought. I, little me, am now going to talk to the master of the universe. As Mesillas Sharim said, like a friend talking to his friend, peh al peh, I will now talk to Hashem, not way, way up high, but I will now converse with my Creator. That thought changes a person's life, because now I start to recognize that Hashem is present. Hashem is here. As I walk down the street, Hashem is there. Hashem is with me my whole life. It changes a whole person's understanding of what Hashem's presence, my relationship to Hashem. You ever have anybody say to you, davening's boring? You ever get that sense? Nah, come on, we said the same words yesterday. I said them before, I said them the day before, and I said them mincha, maariv, shacharis, all that. It's boring. I hate to say this, but if you feel that way, you're not davening. Now, don't get me wrong, you're davening, you're saying the words, but that's not tefillah. Tefillah is a conversation between me and my Creator, and it's supposed to be emotional. It's supposed to be a sense of joy, of powerful experience, talking to the Creator of the heavens and the earth, literally developing a relationship with the Borei Olam. But it's something that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work, again, because part of me completely denies it. Part of me is like that cosmonaut. Part of me is like that teacher who says, there's no God. So it's hard. But if a person conjures up, and by the way, that's what Masil Hashem says. He says, Yan ein achush ozel is a klal v'chush. The senses of man doesn't help at all. The senses make it very difficult for a person to see Hashem. But if a person works on it, says Masil Hashem, a person can excel and get a tremendous understanding of this. And I think that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying. If you want to grow in your Shemayim, nature is great, studying science is fantastic, and these are all wonderful things and not going to have the same effect as one single cognition. Hashem is present. And especially if you daven and think, I'm talking to Hashem, that changes things dramatically and tremendously. And I just want to spend one more moment on something that you guys probably know. I didn't understand this, but if you guys know, in the Ashkenazi community, there's apparently a twitch. I don't know if you guys know it, but if you study Ashkenazic Jews, you'll see many of them have a twitch. And it took me a long time to understand what this was about, but if you'll notice, any time they take a piece of food or drink, there's sort of like a, I don't know what it is, it's like a mouth kind of a nervous twitch or something like that. Now, it took me a long time to realize it, but I saw everybody does it. Before they eat, they're religious about it. Before they eat, there's like a twitch or some sort of motion or something. And it took a long time for me to realize what was going on. And you'll excuse me for saying this, but one time I was rightly curious, so I want to know what it is. What are these people doing? So I put my ear really, really close to somebody when they were going to do this twitch, and I heard, it's not a twitch, it's not like some kind of mouth motion, it's actually words. They're actually saying words. And if you listen very clearly, you have to very, very, very carefully, because usually you can't make out the words, but the words sound something like, Baruch Ata, I deny Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shakol Nia Bevaro, because that's what they're saying. I deny Hashem. I deny Elokeinu. I deny Melech HaOlam. Because what they're doing is not a bracha. It's not even a nervous twitch. It's just... But they're religious about it. Whenever I drink, whenever I eat, I'll ask, what the bracha should you make before I do my nervous twitch? Now, I heard over, in the name of Rabbi Miller, something that changed the way I made brachas. And he said, if you think about one single thought, before you do your nervous twitch, stop and say this. I am now going to say, Baruch Ata. Praise be you. You means Hashem, right here. Here. If before you do your motion, you say, Baruch Ata, I am going to now say, praise be you. That can change your life. Why? Because, gentlemen, do you know that the minimum we say is 100 brachas a day? From the time of David HaMelech, there was a takana to say 100 brachas a day. And if you realize quickly, very, very easily, we exceed that. If 100 times a day a Jew stops what he does and says, Baruch Ata, praise be you, I'm talking to you, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, Shakol, that everything, Nihye, became, Bidvaro, with your words, could you imagine the level of emunah that a person would reach? 100 times a day. Praise be you. Praise be you. Baruch Ata. Baruch Ata. Could you imagine the transformation in that Jew's life?